I should have chewed out the Innesbrook people. First of all, I still think I'm right. Get your head out of your ass. Why can't Brady give me that point? Already, he's got to be antagonistic towards the sage. Why?
Ira is all fired up today with all kinds of stories and nuggets. Great time coming up on the podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com immediately. Start shopping. Tremendous offers through the end of April. That's where you want to be this weekend. If you are vehicle shopping, ask for Sean Sullivan, the iconic general manager of Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Our thanks to Big Storm Brewery. That's where the draft party is going to be Thursday, April 29th. We've got details coming later. They're all over JoeBucksFan.com. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater. Ira rolls in at 7 o'clock, and we're going all night long until the Buccaneers pick with a fantastic giveaway, $250 gift card, two of them from Florida's Elite Restoration, the Bay Area's number one, Bay Area and beyond, disaster company. Any trouble in your home, get to Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Water, fire, mold. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, we are fired up to be here. Countdown to the draft, a shade over a week to go, with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport Richie. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. That means they've been around a long time, 60-plus years, serving the community, not just selling vehicles, but also donating to the community, supporting so many causes. Bill Curry Ford. Get shopping now immediately at BillCurryFord.com. Remember their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira is here. Ira, I'm putting my foot down. We have to know all about your one-on-one time, extended time with Todd Bowles. We got to hear all about it.
I'm all geeked up, Steve, because we got a lot of exciting things going on. We're less than a week from seeing Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. He's going to be part of our podcast again. Then we're a little over a week away from our draft party, which is going to be a blast. We got Zach, the incredible intern. We got Dr. Wenks coming, special guests. Steve's got special giveaways. We're expecting a big crowd. And then a week after that, I got the sprinkler people coming to replace my sprinkler heads. So it's a very, very exciting time in Tampa Bay.
Todd Bowles, Ira, back on point. No sprinklers. Todd Bowles, what's going on?
Well, he showed up late. This is the Bruce Arians Foundation, Innesbrook Resort, the Inverness Hall. And I show up and, red carpet, 6 to 7. Of course, Brady shows up 7:30, fashionably late. And there were about 30 gawkers watching Brady come through the doors. The PR staff was going crazy, like he can't walk from the parking lot and through the front doors. He needs an escort. But no Bowles. No Bowles. And I'm wondering, hey, Leftwich has already been here. Nick Rapone's been through. Tom Moore's been through. What's going on? Where's my man Bowles? And then the dinner starts. Big ballroom. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Must have been about 60, 70 tables. And about halfway through this thing, I spot Bowles. There he is, nice and relaxed. And, of course, who's talking to him but Jenna Lane? So I figure I got about a half an hour wait. Well, I waited her out. She left, and I moved in like the Panzer Division. And I grabbed him and said, hey, Todd, can you come out in the hallway for a minute? He said, sure. And look, it's very rare that you get these guys alone. It's not easy. It's been a year of Zoom calls and that, everything that entails. And he was very relaxed, and we started talking. And, of course, that first thing he said is, I've been doing the cut-ups. Man, we left a lot out on the field. We're only scratching the surface. I knew that was going to get people's attention. I've got the uncensored Todd Bowles, like you've never heard him, talking candidly about all kinds of players, from Sue to Devin White to Vita Vea, just unexpurgated. It's just 15 minutes of Todd Bowles. He told me some things off the record. Of course, I'm not going to get into it. I asked him what the heck happened in the first quarter, first Chiefs game. He had an interesting answer, but we're not going to get into that. But his dominant theme was, we can be a heck of a lot better. You know how scary that is, the Kemper? Try telling Pat Mahomes that the Bucs think their defense can be a lot better with the 11 defensive starters coming back, whoever they pick up in the draft. Scary, scary stuff. We know this is a hell of an offense. And if this defense takes it to the next level, I believe they were number six, sixth ranked defensively, I believe. They can crack the top five. This team's got a chance to go 14-3, Lee.
Ooh, all that impressed me very much, Ivor, especially you getting Bowles on the side. And he revealed a lot of treasured nuggets to you. I'm certainly looking forward, much more forward to that than your description as a 72-year-old woman in rapture. But you were used a word there. I believe it's a verb, but I don't know if I've ever heard it before. Not
unexpurgated. Unexpurgated. Don't ask me to spell it.
Define that for me, Ira.
It kind of means he took his guard down. He took his mask off, okay. The COVID mask. You know, uncensored, just like Bizbitz usually is on this podcast.
No, I love you for many reasons, and one of which is your vocabulary. I love that you use that word, and hopefully we'll get people to jump on Google and pull up Merriam-Webster's dictionary and learn something today. You know, that was a wonderful word.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee. And Steve, you know, I learned something about Bowles because I've been hearing from the New York people, Bob Glauber from Newsday, you know, fellow Hall of Fame voter. You know, Bowles was in New York and had a hell of a first year as a head coach, but then ultimately it didn't work out. And you could argue, I mean, nobody can succeed in New York. It's a disaster, and they have terrible ownership. I agree. You guys remember when John Idzik went there and everybody said, don't take that job, Idzik. Don't be the general manager of the Jets. Well, what are you going to do, Lee? You can't turn it down. And funny enough, when you fail as a GM, usually don't get another job. Coaches do, GMs don't, and Idzik went, it was a disaster. But, you know, I've been told that Bowles has a big personality. He's into music. He's a singer. Lee, we never see that side of Todd Bowles.
I just can't picture Todd Bowles singing,
you know, a little Led Zeppelin, maybe.
I was thinking the Supremes. Or, you
know. Steve, he absolutely got into it. I hope I can capture the rhythm of the way he said it, but you know, I'm looking forward to writing it up. I got it all transcribed.
I got to pin you down again, Ira, because we have plenty of listeners in our audience who have absolutely no time whatsoever to read your column, or perhaps they're vision challenged, or they don't have...
I challenge that premise, Isbitz. I challenge that premise. Of course they're reading my column. Nick Rapone's reading my column. Arians is reading my column. How dare you suggest Buck fans don't have time for that.
I said some of them, Ira. I said some of them. Some of them don't have time. Some of them aren't able to read. Ira, are you against the people who don't know how to read or have vision impaired? So we need some juice, Ira, on this podcast. We need, you don't need to transcribe. We need, give us the full Todd Bowles breakdown we're going to hear in that column Devin White.
All right, I'll give you a taste. We were talking about Vita Vea, and this is a hell of a line. You know, you're not going to get this in a Zoom call, Lee, I don't think. And so I said, you know, what kind of difference can a healthy Vita Vea, you know, meaning he plays 15, 16 games out of 17, what kind of difference can that make in the Bucs this fall? And he said, Nunes Rochus did a nice job for us. Nunes Rochus can take on a double team. Vita Vea can beat a double team. I mean, that's a sweet line, Lee. That's a sweet line. And he didn't mean it as a knock to a guy that they just brought back and who did a nice job in a reserve role. But if there's a reason he's not starting, Lee. You know, you got to tell it like it is. And Todd Bowles did. As far as Sue's concerned, I led off the Sue conversation by saying he's really won me over. I didn't know that much about Sue before he became a Buck. Lee, who was that guard the Bucks had? He's the guy I think that he stepped on when he was the guy.
That's
who was a
name from Green Bay. He was awful. Yeah, he stomped on his foot.
Evan Smith.
It was Evan Smith. And so we talked about Sue a little bit, and he talked about how smart he is, the professionalism, how much of a leader he is, how much of extra work he does to stay in shape. He thinks the guy could easily end up in Canton. and he is very, very impressed. And on Jason Pierre-Paul, I said the guy's a freak of nature. He said he's more than that. He's one of the smartest players that Bowles has ever been around. So he wanted to focus on the savvy of Jason Pierre-Paul. And, of course, with Devin White, brought a big smile to his face. And we talked about the coverage. And here's what he said. He said White was very aware of what people were saying. And by people, I think I'm talking about the three of us, what people were saying about him in coverage. White was very, very aware of it. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past Buck coaches to bring it to White's attention that we were saying things like that, that he needs to bulk up in coverage. And he said that that's all he worked on. That's all he worked on is coverage. By the end of the year, he was much better at it. And when he made that interception, I believe, Steve, it was against New Orleans. Yeah, New Orleans. He ran off the field and he ran straight to Bowles and said, "Did you see that, coach? Did you see that?" And it was a hell of an interception. Lee, he read the coverage beautifully. He just thinks that there is no ceiling for Devin White, basically. There's no ceiling for the guy.
Well, so, is that the play where Drew Brees was targeting Kamara and White made a hell of a play?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Lee.
And that's every once in a while I'll get somebody give me crap about, "Oh, you were writing bad, Devin White, he can't cover." Well, that was, I mean, anybody that was watching the game, they could tell that was, if he had an Achilles heel, that was it. And let's think about this. You think Sean Payton would target a guy if he was really good in coverage? But yeah, to Devin White's credit, he improved. He got better. That's no longer again, I'll use the term Achilles heel of him. Now he's actually, if he plays like he did in the playoffs this year, look out. He was a complete linebacker in a truest sense of the term in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Complete. He was Ray Lewis-esque.
And he also mentioned several times, Steve, several points of discussion about the defense, about Levante David's steadiness and his calming effect on Devin White, which I think sometimes we don't talk about enough. And I think that's one of the reasons they were determined to bring David back. You know, Lee, on the surface of it, that might be a tough call. I mean, David's still playing at a high level, but he's not 27 anymore, Lee. He's not. And, you know, you and I said, you know, he might be the odd man out. But instead, it seems like they had him in the crosshairs very much early in free agency to bring him back. And I think one of the reasons is they were worried about the possible effect of him leaving and what it would have on Devin White. And I think I understand that. I think I understand that.
Then there's a good yin and yang between those two. You know, David is I don't know if I would use the word reserve, but he's a little bit more level-headed. Devin White obviously is emotional, so there may be a lot to that. It's very interesting.
And Steve, he also mentioned, and I mentioned Mike Edwards, and I said, you know, the kid made a couple of plays. He had some nice interceptions last year and didn't play an awful lot. And according to Bowles, and he might be right, he's more of a ball hawk than Whitehead, certainly. As a safety, not a better player, but more of a ball hawk, and maybe even more than Winfield. Maybe that's fair. So look for Edwards to continue to gain snaps. I think I think they like Edwards' future, and you know what? The kid's getting better, Lee. He's getting better.
Well, I can tell you this about Edwards, and there's some acquaintances of mine that they didn't like Edwards coming out of college for whatever reason. They didn't like him as a rookie. And when I told some acquaintances of mine what I'm about to tell you, they got all bent out of shape, thought I was drunk, and I should, reassess my evaluations. But as many snaps as Edwards took with the first team defense in training camp, and he was doing quite well, I had thought coming out of training camp that, you know what, Edwards might be the starting safety. And then Bowles announced that it was actually going to be Winfield. And I'm not suggesting that Edwards should or should not have been. I'm just stating a point that I thought he played excellent in training camp, and I think that was backed up by the number of snaps he was getting in training camp. So obviously if he was, you know, stinking the joint up in training camp, he wouldn't be getting all these snaps for the first team. So good for him to improve like that. And you know what? You brought this up before, Ira. That's just another evidence. Edwards is another piece of evidence of how this coaching staff is able to develop young players.
No question about it. Steve, before we go any further, I know you love these little nuggets. I will give you another highlight besides my conversation, private conversation with Todd Bowles. This is a personal highlight, Steve, personal. The dinner was starting, and I was walking to get a drink, of course. And I didn't see Big Storm Brewery over there, Stevie. I didn't see it. I should have chewed out the Innisbrook people, but I didn't see it. But I'm walking, and I see a table, and Todd lights at that table, and his wife, the lovely wife, Blair.
Jason Light
and his wife, Blair. And I'm going to take you back a couple of years. Now, you guys know this very well. And, you know, on a Tuesday, I write that, you know, December 26th, Dirk Cutter's got to go. Well, December 28th, I write Jason Light's got to go. He's never forgotten it. I don't blame him. Sometimes when I talk to him on the phone, he starts off saying, am I talking to the guy who said the Bucks should can me? And then he laughs, you know, and but he says it half joking and half serious. He doesn't forget. Well, the following training camp, which was Arian's first year, and we didn't have to do it by Zoom, I remember being in the bubble, and I saw Light's wife there, and Lee, she was giving me daggers, you know, daggers. I mean, I could see it. And, you know, she didn't forget either. So Sunday night, she shook my hand and said, Ira, it's all forgotten about. We won the Super Bowl. I'm talking to you now. And Light was beaming, and I was beaming, and said, you know, you had me at hello. And but, you know, Lee, this goes to the old maxim, winning cures all ills, Lee. Winning cures all ills. So she's letting bygones be bygones. I'm on good terms with Light's wife. Now I got to get good terms with Light. There you go.
All right, Ira. Now, listen, you referenced our draft party earlier in the podcast, and the details are exciting, and we've got a little bit of an announcement to clarify. Very excited. But it's at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. You can check it out at bigstormbrewery.com. There's been a lot of information on the website. So what's a draft party? It's Bucks fans and all fans who hang out for the night, just enjoy the excitement of the draft, drink a lot of beer, eat a lot of food, and just bond with fellow fans and enjoy the excitement of the pick. So we'll be out there at 7 o'clock. They got 3,000 square feet of outdoor seating, which means about 30-something tables. Just a great setup outside and a beautiful setup indoors. And we've got all kinds of giveaways, including two $250 Amex gift cards from our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. You know, if you have a problem in your home, water, mold, fire, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration or go to floridaselite-restoration.com. But they are giving away two $250 gift cards. So the first one, Ira, is going to be a drawing. And the second one is going to be a pick the pick contest. We're going to see if we've got a genius in this crowd who, in advance of the draft, and we're going to have a cutoff time, probably around 9:30, where you can fill out a slip and pick who the Bucks' first-round pick is going to be. We're going to have some tiebreakers, and the winner is going to get $250 from Florida's Elite Restoration. The folks from the Pewtercast, which is another Bucks podcast out there that a lot of folks like to enjoy, they're going to be out there, and they've been telling people to come. We appreciate that. They'll be broadcasting live, and so that's exciting, Ira. They're excited to meet you.
What a class move by Josh and his people at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's $500 worth of gift card. The recipients are going to be quite pleased that evening. You know, maybe they'll pay for a couple of tables worth of food. Well, you never know what they're going to do with that $250. But Lee, it's an indication of what you're dealing with at Florida's Elite Restoration. Mold, it's not a trivial pursuit. It's not a trivial issue. It could be a problem, but you got to get it early. And if you think you might have an issue at home, your first call is to Florida's Elite Restoration before you call your insurance company. They will come out and give you an honest assessment, and that's what you want. You want the honesty. You want somebody that's candid, not trying to rip you off. Bravo, Josh. Great job.
Floridaselite-restoration.com. But the draft party, Ira, it's at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. You can check it out at bigstormbrewery.com. We will slowly start revealing more of the giveaways, and there are going to be plenty of them. So excited about that. But it's just a great time, great place to be, great food. And Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. Make no mistake. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Thank you. And Big Storm, we love them. The official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, Jason Light spoke today to the media. And, you know, typical draft kind of news conference. You know, we like everybody. We're taking everybody. We're thinking of everybody. We'll draft this. We'll draft that. Whatever you want. Well, we're going to do it. So it was a lot of that, except I think there was one sort of buried nugget in there that's a little bit interesting. And that was Jason Light talking about how deep the roster is, that, you know, late round picks and, you know, loading up on later picks. I don't know if they're going to be able to make our roster like they might have in the past. So I say this to you, Ira, is that a little tip off that maybe the Bucks are looking to trade up because they know that, hey, you know what, if sixth, seventh round picks, fourth round picks, you know, they may struggle to make the roster this year and maybe even next year. So, you know what, let's get a better player in here. And I'll point out to you, Ira, that last year the Packers coughed up a simple fourth round pick and they moved up from number 30 to number 26 to draft quarterback Jordan Love.
I could definitely see how you could garner that out of Light. I mean, he did say a lot of vague things that GMs say in the week leading up to the draft. We could move up. We could move back. We might draft a quarterback. We might not. We might sign Antonio Brown. We might not. But, Steve, your point's well taken. I think, generally speaking, he feels this is a weaker draft, weaker blue-chip players. So in that respect, maybe you want to move up to 22 and grab, you know, one of the few guys remaining that you actually think is a real player and has a chance to contribute. But, Lee, I'm going to throw this out. Here's another way to look at it, to Steve's point about, well, you know, what's an extra fifth-round pick in a weak draft? And I understand that. I think that's a fair point by Steve. But, Lee, here's another way to look at it. Instead of getting a fourth-round pick in 2021, maybe you can get a second-round pick in 2022 because GMs, some of them, figure, yeah, what the hell, I might not be here in 2022. Well, Jason Light ain't going nowhere. He just won a Super Bowl. And whether Arian stays or not, Light ain't going anywhere, I don't think. Unless he wants to. And, Lee, you might be able to get a considerably higher pick if you're willing to wait a year. And I dare say, Lee, that we made the point that a year from now, they got a lot of free agents to take care of, key players. Yeah, the salary cap's going to go up, Lee. It is. But, I mean, you can't ask Brady to restructure again at that point. How many times can you restructure? So it's going to be hard for a rookie to make an impact on this team, barring an injury. Let's be honest. Next year could be a different story, Lee. They might have to let a couple of guys go. Maybe Sue's not back. He could retire. Lee, you never know. JPP, maybe they don't bring him back. So, Lee, I think those picks could be valuable future picks that we never thought about for an organization that had immediate needs. And, Lee, that's all changed now.
You know, that's a pretty good point, Ira. Not only are a lot of guys, as Light kind of suggested today, a lot of guys may not make it because it's just too crowded of a roster. And, you know, boy, if that's your biggest problem, salute. And yeah, also the salary cap. Yeah, the salary cap will go up, but you never know. You know, you're going to re-sign some guys. You know, Carlton Davis is going to need money. He's in the last year of his contract. All those running backs, Bucks have three running backs. They're all in the final years of their contracts. I think you're on to something, Ivor. That might be okay. I was like Steve. I was thinking, I'm glad Steve wrote that story and pointed out how relatively inexpensive it is to trade up. And I'm not saying the Bucks should trade up for this guy unless he starts falling into the second round. I'll just say this. I was surfing on TV, came across the NFL Network, and they had Davis Mills Pro Day from Stanford, the quarterback, that has really sparse numbers for a lot of reasons, mainly of which he's had two ACL injuries. And I know pro days, you're going against air, you're not playing defense. I get all that. But the 5 or 6 or 7 minutes I watched of that, this guy looks like he walked out of central casting for a quarterback. Guy had zip on the ball, short passes, boom, nice quick release, beautiful deep ball. I mean, beautiful. So I could see why some of these people are, you know, like the Pete Priscos of the world, Peter Schrager, who they're really, really, really high on this Davis Mills, even though he's got minimal stats. You know, he's played in 11 starts in college, which is nothing, basically. But I can see why people are becoming enamored with this guy just by looking at him at a pro day. And I understand. I get it. It's air. He's not going against any defense. He's throwing the receivers he knows, and it's in shorts. But if the Bucks ever wanted to trade up in the second round to get this guy, I can see why.
Well, Steve, we have to mention that the three of us have a huge comfort level. We were sweating, and now we're not because, see, Ryan Griffin's back in the fold.
Ryan Griffin is back. You know, where is Blaine Gabbert? Is he holding out? Is there something going on? You know, and I don't question that a guy might hold out for a couple of hundred grand or who knows what he's looking for. And based on promises he's gotten from the organization, maybe they didn't do what they said they were going to do. I don't know. But Griffin is back, and the guy's had a hell of a career, you know, not doing much and just being a great practice player and cashing a check.
More importantly, as Jenna Lane likes to point out, and she's right, Ryan Griffith's claim to fame is he became the most famous wingman in NFL history when he guided drunken Tom Brady away from the prying local Penn and Mike club while he was inebriated and shooed him away.
He will live in infamy for that. You know, Steve, your take on my idea of instead of getting a fourth in 2021, maybe you could get a second in 2022. Are you a guy, Steve, that's really not that interested in pushing the pick back a year? I could also argue, Steve, that theoretically next year's draft will be stronger than this one. So am I off base here? I just think it's unbelievable that the Bucks can be in this position to even consider a move like that.
It is a lot of fun to think about how strong the roster is. And they just not only won the Super Bowl, that they just blew out the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and everybody's back, and it's just a big party. But I got to tell you, Ira, I'm all about keeping my foot on the gas. It's nice to collect picks later, but you know what? If they can trade a 4 and a 6 and move up from 32 to 23 and get an edge rusher with a lot of talent who can rotate in a little bit and maybe fill in successfully later in the season if somebody gets hurt, go for it. Yeah, I mean, you are not going to go wrong if you make the right decision with a pass rusher. And he also has a tremendous incubator to learn from on the edge with JPP, like you just talked about, being one of the smartest players Todd Bowles has ever seen. And JPP never shies away from helping a young guy. And then you've also got Shaq Barrett. And, you know, their outside linebackers coach, those outside linebackers, they only stay with their outside linebackers coach, Larry Foote. And obviously he's done a pretty good job. Did a lot with Shaq. You know, you could say that they developed Shaq into a better player. So I would go for it.
I got one more thing. This one might shake up DeKemper. It might. We all know DeKemper could use a little shaking up. But the more I think about this thing with 2022, wait, suppose you got all kinds of flexibility. Suppose you got all these extra picks. Suppose. And then, you know, they say there's no quarterbacks in the 2022 draft. I don't believe that, Lee. I don't believe it. How do we know that? How do we know nobody's going to emerge this fall? A couple of guys that come out of nowhere and really take a step up. How do we know that? And, Lee, at that point, you know, you're looking at a 45-year-old Tom Brady. I mean, let's be honest. You got to make your move sooner or later. Who knows? You can't bank on Aaron Rodgers ending up being a Buck. I mean, we don't know what the hell's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. You can't bank on that. And, you know, the end of the Brady regime, you know, by the end of this season, I mean, it's a year away or whatever. And, Lee, my point is, all of a sudden, you got ammo. You've got ammo. And if you want to move up in the first round and make a significant move, you got to have ammo, Lee. And maybe the Bucks would have it. So that could be a side benefit. You never know, Lee. At some point, they got to draft a quarterback.
Look, Ira, I don't know if you have to draft a quarterback. Like Jason Light joked today, well, we didn't do that. And I think it was Kevin O'Donnell from Fox 13 said on the news conference, he noted that stat that says there's this, like, a 7-year stretch now in the NFL where guys drafted by their teams, quarterbacks drafted by their teams, are no longer with their teams. So I don't know. Maybe there's a new thought process. It's nice to draft a quarterback, but you know, maybe that's just not the mindset anymore.
If I can get a Justin Herbert, that's who I want.
I agree in theory with what you're saying, Ira. I can't disagree with it. But, you know, I think we're getting an eye off the ball here. There's no question the Bucs are all in going for two this year. Next year should never, not even cross anyone's mind. To Steve's point, you got a chance to move up and get a guy you think's going to make an impact this year and you think's going to help you win a Super Bowl. Pedal to the metal, man. If you got to pull up Mike Ditka and trade your whole damn draft, well, then you do it, because it's very, very, very good chance this team will never be in this same position for a minimum of 20 years, maybe in our lifetimes. So you got a chance to grab history. Grab it. There is no tomorrow.
Well, I'll say this, guys, and I'm sure Izbitz will disagree because that's his second nature. but, Steve, if I had to pick a position, and look, I've spent 3 weeks saying they don't have any positional glaring needs. But, if I had to pick a position where I think a rookie might be able to start, and I'll give him a 15 or 20% chance, you know what I'd pick? I'd pick cornerback. Because I think Carlton Davis is solidified, but I'm not so sure about Dean and Bunting. If a guy's really, really top notch, and he fits Bowles' system, I could see a rookie cornerback getting some substantial playing time. And I really have a problem at other positions, barring an injury. You know, unless you want to think about Alex Kappa, right guard. Can somebody beat out Alex Kappa? Probably not.
You got Stinney again.
You know, there ain't no holes on this team. Like, there ain't no holes.
I'm not as down on Sean Murphy Bunting as you guys. Allegedly, he was hurt most of the year. If you believe that, you know, that's Arian saying. Damn if he didn't have an excellent postseason.
He did.
You could say maybe the Bucs don't beat the Packers without his play. So I'm not as down on him. I see what you're saying, Ira. Yes, you could go get a cornerback and say, okay, try to beat out Bunting, whether it be a Asante Samuel or whomever. But I'm not as down on Sean Murphy Bunting as you guys seem to be. It is drafting a quarterback, or a corner, not quarterback, a cornerback. You know, it might be, how you shall say, a safe move. What I mean by that is we don't know if Carlton Davis wants to go somewhere else. Maybe he wants to play for the Dolphins. He doesn't want to play, wants to go back home, or whomever. Maybe he doesn't like it here, whatever. It's a safety valve, just in case Davis leaves. Of course, you could say that if you draft ETN, because you got three running backs who are in their final years of their contracts. By the way, not counting Giovanni Bernard, just counting Ronald Jones and Playoff Lenny. Ronald Jones and Playoff Lenny accounted for 88% of their rushing yards last year.
Steve, I got another nugget.
Well, say, let me weigh in on the cornerback
chatter here.
Ross Cockrell, a guy nobody talks about, he played 22% of the defensive snaps last year, and the guy didn't show up on the roster until late September on the veteran practice squad. So a rookie, theoretically, could take all of those snaps, and that's a lot of snaps. You know, plus Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean have never played a full season in the NFL, and I usually don't think those things are coincidences. So I think there's potentially a lot of snaps there. Could they beat out a guy? I don't know. I mean, again, they'd have to look so incredible in preseason, in limited first team play, to be able to be on that field on opening night when you've got, you know, Jamel Dean as your starting outside corner, who's had a lot of experience now. And that's the key, really. All these Bucks have so much quality experience. A rookie would have to be just lights out. I mean, Aqib Talib didn't even come in and start right away.
I guess I'm saying you can never have enough cornerbacks, and of course the guy could contribute immediately on special teams. Could, But Steve, one more nugget from the Arians Foundation dinner Sunday. Look, it was the first time, you know, I'm face to face with Brady. You know, he took questions for about 6-7 minutes. So I guess I tried to impress him with my knowledge over there, Lee. And so I asked him about Giovanni Bernard. What do you know about him? Well, I've been looking at the guy. Very impressive. I think he's a really good player. I think he could help us. And then Brady, Lee, mentions he went to the same school as James White, which he did, high school. St. Thomas Aquinas, famous high school in Fort Lauderdale, turned out a lot of pros. So then, Lee, I pushed it. And when you push it, whether you're playing golf, tennis, whatever, bowling, whatever the hell you're doing, when you push it, Lee, usually end up in the gutter. And so I pushed it. And he mentioned James White. I didn't. And so I said, you know, Bernard's got a lot of the same skill set as James White. He shot me down. How can you shoot down the sage? It's unbelievable. First of all, I still think I'm right. But Brady, you know, just like his bits, he never wants to begrudge me any point. And Brady wouldn't begrudge me that point. And, I wouldn't say they're the same. You know, they got different. I can't compare anybody to James White. Come on, Brady. I mean, but James White's known for catching the ball. He's not known for running the ball. Bernard's an okay running back with the ball in his hands, but he's very adept at catching balls out of the backfield. Why can't Brady give me that point? Already, he's got to be antagonistic towards the sage. Why?
Well, you know what? I want to give you a Bill Walsh quote. I know you're infatuated with short passes by running backs. I don't see the allure because the Bucs won a Super Bowl without a pass-catching back. I know Leonard Fournette did so with the Jaguars. He didn't so much with the Bucs. I'm just talking about the Bucs. But to pacify you, Ira, to fill you with glee, I will give you a Bill Walsh quote about running backs catching the ball. Bill Walsh once said, when you run the ball at 4 yards a clip, a defense thinks they're getting their ass kicked. When a team is throwing the ball at 4 yards a clip, the defense thinks they're kicking your ass. I don't care how you get 4 yards, so long as I get 4 yards.
I never heard that quote. That's a hell of a quote. Didn't Walsh used to say, Lee, that those short passes to Roger Craig and other guys, even before Craig became a 49er, remember that first Super Bowl team with Montana in the 81 season? He was throwing short passes all over the place. And didn't Walsh say that's like a glorified run? You know, it's like a guaranteed 4-yard gain. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah. That was his philosophy. If you can't run the ball, you can throw it for 4 yards.
Sage, right now, $14,150 in savings on a new 2020 Ford Explorer Premium at Bill Curry Ford. Huge, huge deals going on now for their spring trade-up event. It ends at the end of April, so you got to go to BillCurryFord.com and check out all the different opportunities, all the different offers, financing, whatever it might be. Check out the inventory there, BillCurryFord.com. And most important, our buddy, Sean Sullivan, the GM, any Bucks fan listening to this can simply call him up and say, Sean, could you help me, brother, man? I don't understand how to get out of my lease, and I really want to get my wife into a Ford Edge and this and that. And he's going to help you just like a friend with extreme knowledge in the business. And he's also going to make available to you that Ira Kaufman discount or the Joe Bucks fan discount or just the I Love You Draft Guru Sean discount. That might be bigger than the Ira Kaufman discount. But Ira, it's a great time to get to BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage. So let's get back a little bit to Jason Light. But you know what? We're going to say more of Jason Light for our next podcast because I have to throw this past you before we get out of here, Ira. And we appreciate everyone tuning in on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, wherever you subscribe free and listen. And of course, the many thousands who listen right at JoeBucksFan.com. Sean King, one of four quarterbacks to ever lead the Buccaneers to the NFC title game. It used to be three, but now it's four. Sean King said this, Ira. He said that he believes Giovanni Bernard is an insurance policy against the organization not really trusting Leonard Fournette to be playoff Lenny and to possibly go back to what he was earlier in the season as a guy who was not fulfilling his potential and maybe pouting a little bit and just not being the guy we saw late, that Bernard recognizes, that Bernard's more of a steady guy and that he provides, quote unquote, insurance against Leonard Fournette. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's fair, but I'm not sure it's a knock on Fournette's steadiness. Lee, to me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, the guy was out there. There's three or four teams that wanted him. First of all, he's a tremendous teammate, by the way. Tremendous. I was talking to the one of the Bengals, the guy that runs the Bengals website. He's seen Bernard every year of his pro career. He knows him well. And I asked him what the Bucks are getting. His name's Jeff Hobson, writes for the Bengals website. Very sharp guy, and he's their representative for the Hall of Fame. And by the way, he's bitching up a storm that, you know how many Bengals have a bust in Canton? One. One Cincinnati Bengal. Anthony Munoz.
Oh, he's the only one?
The only one. And they've been around since, I believe, 68.
Yeah, but they're not,
I know,
like we're talking about the Steelers and the Browns here.
I know, but you got Ken Riley and you got Ken Anderson. Ken Anderson won four passing titles. But anyway, he said Bernard is a tremendous locker room guy, tremendous pass catcher out of the backfield. And, Steve, I understand this point. You know, there's no question Fournette was pouting for much of the 2020 season. There's no question about it. In fact, he needed a pep talk and maybe a lecture from Arians. And that's what Arians said. He gave him a lecture and read him the riot act at one point and said, get your head out of your ass. That's how bad it was, Lee, with Fournette.
That's
you know,
what,
he
that's
wasn't
what I
getting
had to,
any touches.
Ira, that's what I had to tell you in 2018.
And it worked like a charm, Steve. And here I am at the top of the mountain. But, Lee, he wasn't getting any touches, and he wasn't doing anything when he got any touches. Lee, you remember that.
Mostly. I mean, he had a nice touchdown run against Carolina.
Bernard's a no-brainer. Look, he's not going to be here for 4 years, Bernard. I mean, he's got 8 years in the books already, you know. But if he can help them in the next 2 years as they try to win three in a row, you know, as long as Brady's around. I don't necessarily look at it as a reflection on, the idea that they can't trust Fournette. No risk. He's not making a lot of money. It just made a lot of sense, a lot of football sense, Lee.
Apparently this guy, Bernard, can block.
And he can block. Yes, he can block too. That's right.
And I confess I'm just as guilty as the next guy. That is an element of the game when it comes to running backs that I more than often overlook.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you on that too.
Yeah, I'm with you there, of course. The reality is the Bucks didn't let Tom Brady get hit very much last year at all. So the blocking from the running back position was not an issue. So I don't know if that was a big X factor since Brady was so clean last year. But, you know, we're going to find out. I hope Leonard Fournette is up for this competition because it's going to be fierce. And I got to give Tom Brady a pass, Ira. You know, it's not like Bernard is some sort of pro bowler that Brady knows all about from hanging out with him in Hawaii years ago. And, James White is a Super Bowl hero, a guy who he's, played for years with. I don't blame him for not, going crazy about a guy he's never thrown a pass to.
It gave him a chance to take a pot shot at a Hall of Fame voter, and he couldn't pass it up, Steve.
You guys will work things out. You'll work it out, Ira.
I mean, we were talking about the draft, and I've had more than a couple of people come up to me. What about an offensive tackle? I'm like, what? And the more I think about this, Ira, the way Donovan Smith played down the stretch, certainly in the playoffs, especially when he just locked down Chase Young. You didn't know Chase Young was on the field. He owned Chase Young. Is this the best pair of tackles the Bucks have had in franchise history? At the same time, best pair of tackles?
I don't think there's any question, Lee, and I think most of it is for Tristan Wirfs, although I got to say, Donovan Smith has grown on me. I got him in the top 10 now. I think we got to put him in the top 10, and I don't think he's ever been there before. And I think Wirfs is number one. He might be the best tackle in football. That is scary. Scary to say about a guy with 1 year of experience. Scary.
Yeah, Sage, I went back. I was listening to Arian's last visit to his Bucks Total Access show right before the Super Bowl. It escaped my radar, Ira. I was so busy, so in such ecstasy, I missed his final show. before the Super Bowl. But on that show, he said he believes that Wirfs is the best right tackle in football. So somebody actually from the Bucs' big hierarchy said that publicly, and that was Arians. And, of course, that means he is one of the best tackles in football, period, in Arians' mind, if you're the number one right tackle. So exciting stuff. You know, the Bucs certainly are as loaded, you know, they've got to be the best tandem ever at tackle that the Bucs have had, you know, to answer Lee's question. I don't think there's any way to even dispute it, really.
Guys, we got to remember, they won their first Super Bowl with Kenyatta Walker at tackle.
Well, you know, and every once in a while, Steve will do this, like, you know, the worst. I remember Steve had a running series one summer, the worst Buccaneer in history, or at least since 1990. And a lot of people went after Steve. What about Kenyatta Walker? And I would say this too. And Steve would reply, he started on a Super Bowl team. How bad could he have been?
He did. He did. No question about
but
it.
But he was bad, yeah.
Can you guys name the left tackle on that Super Bowl team? Left tackle, Steve?
Oben.
Roman Oben.
Roman Oben, yeah.
Roman Oben.
Giant.
Great guy. Yeah, great guy.
All right, Ira. We are out of here. And we got to remind everybody that draft party, it's going to be fun. Just come out and have some fun. Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater. And if you don't go, which obviously most of you are not, and if most of you do, then there's going to be a real problem. But definitely load up on Big Storm beer at your local store where you buy beer, or go to bigstormbrewery.com, punch in your zip code, and you'll find where it's sold near you. Tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center, which is open every single day. Big Storm Beer, we appreciate all their love. It's going to be fun out there. Ira, I hope your diet is going well. We'll talk about that on the next podcast. Plenty to get to, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time, Sage.